Well, we both talked about that if we see out of our ones, our older players, what we want to see on Thursday, they would not play in the game. We agreed upon that. Plan is that we'll play our ones a significant amount against each other on Thursday in a controlled environment. Not that the other guys aren't going to get reps, but in a controlled environment and see where we're at.
That is the new Cleveland Browns coach, Todd Monken. I think controlled is an interesting word because some of these joint practices seem to, well, maybe they lose control. And I think that's probably one thing on Monken and also Joe Brady's mind going into this thing tomorrow. Let's visit with Daryl Reiter from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland as the Bills are on their way, if they're not there already. Daryl, are you ready for a joint practice?
I have never been more ready to see another football team than I am for tomorrow when the Bills get here.
What about the idea that there's a line that sometimes gets crossed, right? Everybody's excited to, not just you or me, but everybody's excited to see, you know, the so-called different colored uniforms. How important is it in your mind to Monken and the Browns that it sort of stay, so to speak, between the lines?
Yeah, I think it's important. Todd Monken is a no-nonsense coach, that's for sure. He's already ended two practices in training camp. In fact, Tuesday's practice was a direct result of his displeasure with defensive players being too aggressive. One, a hit on Quinshon Judkins. Judkins did not practice today, minor injury as a result of that. And then getting too close to the quarterback. And Monken let defensive coordinator Mike Rutenberg hear about it. And then he let his team hear about it after practice. So he's not looking to turn this into a brawl tomorrow. He wants both the Bills and the Browns to get quality work in against each other. As he put it, today it's going to be a measuring stick for the Browns so they can see how they stack up with an elite team in the NFL, because the Browns are the furthest thing from an elite team in the NFL. So he definitely wants the attention and the focus to be on what takes place between the lines and not any extracurricular activities.
Daryl, beyond just tomorrow and even the preseason, what are your vibes when it comes to Monken? A lot of times coaches get hired because they're, to some degree, the opposite of the last guy. And I think maybe personality-wise, from the outside, I would say that they check that box here in Cleveland. Maybe that puts it mildly. What kind of feelings do you have about him?
Yeah, he is the antithesis of Kevin Stefanski. You ask him a question, he gives you an answer. You may not like the answer, but he's going to give you an answer. He's not worried about being politically correct or worried about being close to the vest. Really, the only questions he tends to shy away from are directly related to player injuries. But outside of that, you ask him a question, he gives you an answer. You might not like the answer, but that's just how he feels. And he's not faking it. He's not trying to put on a show. He's not trying to fake, being coy and things like that. I think under the circumstances, I've been really impressed with what he has done. It looks like a professional outfit. It operates like a professional outfit. We'll find out if it actually can play like a professional outfit. I have my doubts, but that more has to do with the quarterback than that's going to be available to him than the head coach. But I was very skeptical when they hired Todd Monken, and I have acknowledged locally that just how impressed I have been and how my feelings on that whole situation have done a complete 180. And so he might be exactly what the doctor ordered for this young football team, and especially a young football team that's going to struggle from the quarterback position all season.
With Daryl Reiter, well, you said a lot right there. What should be the plan? What do you think is the plan at that position? Is it Watson, period, or Sanders? Like, what do you think they should want to do?
Well, they should start Shador Sanders, but they're not going to. They're going to start Deshaun Watson. I'm convinced of that. That decision has not been made. I want to be very clear about that. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. But my gut has a very good batting average, so I'm going to stick with that, as long as he's healthy and available, Deshaun Watson will be the week one starter. And also, too, I think there'll just be more comfortable buying some extra time for Shedeur Sanders to continue to develop and kind of get his act together, so to speak, to be ready to be an NFL starter. Because quite frankly, Shedeur Sanders is not ready to be an NFL starter. Now, I know his fans don't want to hear that across the country. They are a special breed of fans, I will say that. You can praise the kid for 59 minutes and 50 seconds, but it's the 10 seconds of criticism that you have them. They remember, and you're a hater, and you're a racist, and all these other things. But they should start Shedeur Sanders. There's more upside to him. This is a young football team, it's about growth. I just don't see any upside in starting Deshaun Watson. But this is Todd Monken's first job as an NFL head coach. He had to wait until he was 60 years old to get it. And so I think he's going to go with a veteran. The operation before the snap is better with Deshaun Watson, but I would say the operation after the snap is better with Shedeur Sanders. So, it's, for my position, a no-win situation for the Cleveland Browns right now.
Daryl, is it as simple as that Watson has suffered so much physical damage, even since he's been to Cleveland? I mean, that was, of course, such a controversial move in the first place. Is it deeper than that, where psychologically maybe you would say that he couldn't get it back after what happened in his personal life and in Houston? I don't know. To me, it could be both, and maybe that's the end of it. But I think, you know, physically, he's the shoulder and then the Achilles injuries. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's just no hope there.
I think it's a physical problem. I think he's had plenty of time to deal with the off-the-field issues. He's spent, obviously, a lot of time the last 2 years rehabbing injuries, first the shoulder, then Achilles tear number one, followed by Achilles tear number two. From my standpoint, I just don't think he can physically do it anymore. It's just how I feel about it, and it's why I'm against the Browns even putting him on the football field, because I don't see the benefit. He's a sunk cost. Mm-hmm. This is the last year you have to pay him. He'll be on your salary cap books for the 27 and 28 seasons after they waive him with a post-June 1 designation next March, so they can split his remaining cap charge over 2 years. But I don't see any upside for the Browns in starting Deshaun Watson. And it's because there, I believe, are physical limitations. This is not a situation where I think he's mentally challenged. I don't think, or drained, I should say. I don't think this is a situation where he lacks the effort or the desire or anything like that. I have repeatedly said I give him all the credit in the world. He could have pocketed the full 230 and stayed away. He forced the Browns to open the 21-day practice window during the end of last season, just so he could get back on the practice field and get some work. That's commendable. And then obviously he's worked really hard to put him in a position where he could go through this quarterback competition, which I do think he's going to win, and go ahead and start week one for the Browns in Jacksonville on September 13th.
You have, and your colleagues together, just a very qualified, interesting, inside perspective on what this last few years has been. When Watson was traded to Cleveland, my co-host at the time said, I think I'd have to quit this job if that happened here. Like, he just did not want to ever have to talk about it. And it might get, I'm asking, Daryl, like, it might have become really twisted, because deep down we all want the home team to win. I mean, we don't always want to admit it, but, we do. And now you've got a player that's so controversial. And, I mean, do you want to root for him? Do you want to root against him? And you're taking the fans along on a trip when it comes to this. And, I mean, I don't know. I have never, to put it simply, envied your position on this subject in Cleveland, because I don't know how I would want to deal with it either. You don't have to admit it or tell me, but you might just kind of want it to be over.
Well, I'll say this, there is a lot more to that whole situation and the accusations and the lawsuits and whatnot that has been discussed in the public sphere. And quite frankly, you can't discuss it in the public sphere. And I'm just going to leave that part of it there. That doesn't excuse the accusations or the alleged behavior by any stretch of the imagination. But again, I just feel like there is based on things that I have been told from various sources, there is more to the story than just what has been put out there. I will say there is this very specific reason why when the NFL pursued their investigation and concluded their investigation, they only included four women in those as far as the accusations, right? That's why he served the 11-game suspension. It wasn't because of the 26 or 27, I forget the specific number. It was because of the four women and the incidents related to those women that the NFL investigated. But look, I mean, he's played 19 games since this all went down. He's not been good in the 19 games that on the field that he has played. He's not looked good in practice. He's not looked good in the games. So, yeah, I mean, there is no juice worth the squeeze there with him at this point. And that's part of the reason I will acknowledge I favor just starting Shador. Do I think Shador Sanders is ready to be an NFL quarterback? No, I think he has the potential to be. There's a lot of upside with the kid. There's a lot to like in his game. But he's not ready. I mean, he messed up a last end of game situation today in practice, getting everyone set so he could spike the football properly. He messed that up. There's a lot of work that Shador needs to do. But I just rather watch that than watch a guy who's been through the injuries that he's been through, that struggles throwing the ball down the field with accuracy. I see more non-competitive throws in practice from Deshaun Watson than I do Shador Sanders, as far as being so far off target and things like that. So it's not a matter of whether or not I want this whole situation to be over with. It's just a matter of looking at the big picture of where the Browns are at in their roster building process and where they are as a team and an organization. And I just think that there's more to gain by playing Shador Sanders rather than playing Deshaun Watson. But again, I understand why I feel like Todd Monken is going to go with Deshaun, because he's the veteran. He has the experience. He can do the pre-snap stuff that's required. And then when the thing falls apart, well, you can always turn it over to Shador rather than, okay, you put Shador out there before he's ready to go. And then all of a sudden, well, you find out the kid really can't do this thing. You've got to save him from himself. And now you send Deshaun in to be the mop and bucket. And that doesn't make a lot of sense either. So that's kind of where I am at as far as this whole situation goes, and where I do believe the Browns are as well.
Thank you, Darrell. The last time Watson played was October of 24. Then the next week, it seems like so long ago, but it's Jameis Winston who starts, and they upset Baltimore that year. It's kind of a big win. Yeah. And then Watson has not been seen since, until apparently coming up here soon, week one, as soon as week one. Quickly, last thing, how good is the Browns' defense likely to be?
I think they're going to be pretty good. We're going to find out tomorrow, though, okay? Because they look like a top defense going against this Browns' offense. I actually said in my recap video today, we're going to find out just how bad this Browns' offense really is, because the defense every day makes plays. They've had over 20 interceptions. This is a secondary that in the last couple of years doesn't catch the football. They haven't caught the football, haven't created the turnovers. They're doing it in training camp this year, so I'm guessing that's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because the quarterbacks are turning the ball over. So I am very curious to see how good they really are. I think Denzel Ward remains one of the top cornerbacks in the game. Jared Verse, that was brilliant by Andrew Berry and the Browns to get him. He's as good as advertised. He's not Myles Garrett. Nobody is. But if substitutes go, he's going to get after the quarterback and apply pressure. I really like what I've seen from the Browns' defensive front. But again, is that because the Browns' offensive line isn't playing well, or are they that good? Tomorrow's going to be the real deal, because they're going to go against that Bills' offensive line. They're going to go against Josh Allen and those receivers and that potent offense. And we're going to find out real fast, are they for real, or are they good because they play against their offense every day?
These practices are interesting, more interesting than the games tend to be. Enjoy it, Darrell. Thanks, as always, for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Darrell Ryder, 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland. Sal's on his way, if he's not there already, and I'll ring him. Anybody say that anymore? No. Getting head shakes all around me. 5:30 for Sal today. I'm Mike Shope. No Bulldog until Monday. This is WGR.